Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, welcome to the football scramble, if you will. It's episode 9 of the 12 Eggs of Easter.
How's it taken 9 episodes to get to the football scramble?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Were you in the bath last night going, Eureka?
Eureka, yeah.
I don't actually own a bath.
No.
Oh.
That's why you're smelly.
Have you ever had one?
A while ago.
I find I get in and I get too hot and I immediately have to get out again.
It's very difficult to get the temperature right.
Yeah.
But when you do, the moment you get in is
delicious.
Blissful. It's transcendent.
What do you do after a football game? You don't have a bath to ache the limbs.
Shower, mate.
To rest the limbs.
Oh, in terms of that, stretch and foam roller.
There we go.
You and your foam roller. I mean, I'm still aching from a football match, like a 9-a-side football match I played on Saturday, so I do need it, but foam roller.
Marcus could do a whole show on a foam roller.
Barbaric.
Yeah. his foam roller chat is some of the strongest of anyone I've met.
I just think it might be a gateway drug to S&M.
Could be. Because it's very painful, very close to pain and pleasure. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, sorry, Marcus.
I'm a kind of a leisurely foam roller type.
Right,
daddy. I can use it a few times and it's fine.
A casual foam roller.
Yeah, exactly. I only foam roller when I've got my friends around.
Just socially.
You micro roll.
I never foam roll when I'm in the house on my own.
Yeah, and that's the key.
Yeah.
That is key. That's when you know you've got a problem.
When you went out and about.
Yeah. You're in the middle of like a Tuesday afternoon, sat around.
Feeling bored.
Loose women or something, and you get the foam roller.
I thought I was going to be a loose man.
Yeah, I did see Marcus on the corner of the street just outside the office though, at the middle of the night last night, trying to buy a foam roller from a shade looking guy with a hoodie. So yeah, you might have a problem. We don't know yet.
It wasn't even foam inside.
No, in the end it wasn't.
There we are, you see, you've got to be careful. Today we have a Scottish egg.
Yes,
a Scotch egg.
Yes, a Scotch egg. You can tell we don't plan these in advance, can't you?
You can tell me and Jim got up a lot later than you guys. You've been up for hours. You're delirious.
I've been in the studio since about 7 this morning.
It's Gary McAllister, MBE.
Ooh. Gary McAttack.
Gary McAttack.
EGG.
Yeah, EGG. I love Gary Mack. I'm kind of surprised that when we had the production meeting,
I was adamant he was going in.
Yeah, that Gary Mack made the shortlist, but because it's our our 12 favourite eggs and we decide what our favourites are. I'm happy he's here. I just didn't think he would make the top table, if you know what I mean.
For those people going, surely you've got to... I chose Gary Macca over Zidane.
Yes. But again, correctly, another man who just looks ridiculous as a young man. It just doesn't look right. No. There's a picture of him... Oh, you can't remember him?
I can't remember him having hair, but I can remember him sort of... When he was at like Leeds and latterly Liverpool, like he was completely like he'd gone.
Oh yeah, big time. But I think there's a photo of him as a young man. You know when they back in the day, because he would have started his career in like the early 80s. You know they would do those photos, and they'd kind of be half for like Pro Set cards or Paninis, or they would just be for calendars or whatever. And he's on one knee with the ball there.
That's right. That's right. The pose.
He's got a lovely smile and a full head of hair. And I'm telling you now,
it's old, isn't it?
If I pulled that up in front of you guys, out of context, who's that?
Yeah.
Not a single soul would be able to name the guy. He looks perfect as a bald man.
Yes.
He
yes.
just doesn't look right any other way. He looks so tired all the time.
Well,
as
he's
well
got that sort of haggard, weather-beaten look.
Yeah, he tired,
like,
Jim.
He looks like he's a sort of
bit hanged
like a plumber that's come round to fix your plumbing issues, but he's seen everything. You know, he's one of the really old
yard
ones.
Stare.
Yeah, no, nothing impresses him. He treats you with utter disdain because the fact that you can't fix this yourself. Yeah. Also, perhaps a sort of grizzled detective. He's got that kind of look as well. Can see him sort of like
cradling
a
coffee,
rocking the beat on Glasgow.
I think he's a bit cheerier.
Yeah.
I quite like McAllister when he sort of cracks a smile and whatnot. I think there's a little bit of joy.
Yeah, he's got an adorable face. I reckon. He's a grizzled detective, but he's got a soft side with his daughter's kids.
His daughter's kid, so he's a grandparent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he'll think that through, but when it came out,
he'll be sitting on the stoop. He'll be sitting on the stoop watching his kids.
We do have a word for that. His grandchildren.
His grandchildren. Very tender.
I think no one around this table can deny me the fact that, with the possible exception of John Terry, no man has looked more tired at the end of a game than Gary McAllister. He just looks so tired.
Well, for Scotland, because he had a bloody pull everyone up by their bloody bootstraps half the time.
The only other sportsman who's ever looked as tired as Gary McAllister is snooker player John Higgins, who looks like he's about to fall asleep at any point.
Higgins would often look knackered,
To be honest, I'm just ready for me bed. Is what you expect him to say every time he's interviewed. But a great player. And not only that, a late blooming egg as well.
Wasn't he just?
Because he was good at Coventry and he was good at Leeds and all the rest of it. But when he got that move to Liverpool, which I'm sure we'll come on to,
it's great. You can argue it's a swan song because I know he played for Coventry after, but it was player manager.
Correct.
Yeah. So obviously, swan song is your last job as a player. So you could, I think you could, but if we are calling that a swan song at Liverpool, it is one of the best and most glorious swan songs of all time.
Absolutely. But at the same time, it's worth pointing out that he won the last first division with that Leeds team.
Yeah.
Who have got, because of the advent of the Premier League and the fact that they somehow finished 17th. In the season, aren't
what's after. A title defence?
But they, exactly. But they're like the most forgotten title winners ever.
No one
seems to even think about it.
Were Gordon Strachan involved?
Yeah, exactly.
Very much involved. Yeah, because before then, you know, in the kind of late 80s and whatnot, people remember Arsenal winning the title at Anfield. I know it was a few years before, but because of in the manner that they did, people remember Liverpool winning the title because they haven't won it for, 27 years now and all that kind of stuff.
And Leeds title win was like, it feels now in retrospect, is like massively before the Lord Mayor show.
Yeah.
But I think it was that season. It might have been the season before or even the season after. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that Gary McAllister scored one of the great volleys.
Yeah, against Rangers.
No, against Liverpool for Leeds United.
Yeah.
Ball comes across on the left-hand side over his shoulder and he absolutely lashes it. Yeah. And the reason, again, that's not celebrated is because when people talk about the arch Leeds volleys, I think it's Tony Yeboah.
This is the thing.
McAllister was the one. That was such a good goal.
It's not even the best volley a Leeds United player scored in the 90s.
No.
Or whatever it was. That's the thing. Like that Yeboah took his...
But the thing was, for Gary Mack to score it, he scored a decent amount of goals. A rate of goal scoring roughly commensurate with a midfield player.
He could hit them from distance.
He could, absolutely right.
And hit a dead ball.
Were they ever known as Mack and Strack? I feel like they should have been. Very 90s thing Mac that they missed if it didn't happen.
I could see a sort of football sport-based chat show spin-off on that, on the strength of that name alone.
Okay. Not in 2019, though, eh?
What guests would they have?
Nigel Whelan.
Absolutely not that at 2019.
Be Nigel Spackman.
Yeah. Mack and Strack meet Spack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal.
Cricketer Inzamam Al Haq.
John Toshack.
Yeah.
Backstreet Boys.
He could hit a dead ball, couldn't he?
Backstreet Boys.
They can play out. There's always a musical number at the end of a chat show.
And as always, on the Mac and Strack show,
Mac and Strack,
we are played out by the Backstreet Boys.
I can imagine Gary McAllister.
They're not busy either.
Gary McAllister sat on the sofa, Gordon Strachan goes over before they play their number. How you doing?
Threatens them.
How you doing?
Yeah. Who are you?
Why are you in my house?
You're going to play the song list I gave you.
I don't think Gary McAllister would get a word in if Gordon Strachan was given a
chance. You get to sit down. Yeah. Sit down.
You know that Gordon Strachan does a radio show on Monday nights on TalkSport.
Does he? Yeah.
And he just basically gets relentlessly taken the piss out for being short. I think it's harsh.
That is height Bance, shaming.
It is.
Bance, mate.
Yeah, you wouldn't catch us shaming any kind of things like that.
Do you know McAllister? He mugged off Brian Clough.
Ooh.
That must be a short
list. Sort of.
A short list of people.
Yeah, well, when he was at, where did he go? Leicester. That's the funny thing. You mentioned about him being a late bloomer. Absolutely he was. It's odd to think for the first roughly 9 years of his career, he was at Motherwell and then Leicester because...
And they were in the second tier at the time, were they, I think?
Yeah. They might have had a season in the top flight with Leicester, but yes, they weren't... they certainly weren't continuously a top flight side like he had with other teams. But we really know him at Leeds, of course. Brilliant midfield with Strachan, Batty and Speed coming through the academy and whatnot there. So it was a really good side. So 9 years, roughly, before that. It's odd, isn't it? Because players burst onto the scene so young now and whatnot. But when he was at Leicester, he was turning heads and putting in performances and was attracting attention for the big sides and nearly went to Nottingham Forest under Brian Clough. And Clough, he had a meeting with Clough, and as the story goes, apparently McAllister was wearing cowboy boots.
And,
which seems very unlikely.
Talking about picturing the guy with hair, picturing him with cowboy boots.
I'm picturing him in cowboy boots, just completely Billy Bollocks, all greased up.
Pat Stetson?
It's Stetson,
yeah.
He's not Magic
Don,
Mike.
He's not Don Hutchison, mate.
Magic Mac.
Magic Mac. Well, yeah, he went...
Mac, Zack and Crack.
Okay. Yeah. Mac, Strack and Crack.
Yeah.
That's another chat show.
It's a late night one.
Yeah.
Well, he went for this meeting and... He apparently, Brian Clough saw the cowboy.
Sorry, Marcus, investigative documentary where Mac and Strack go out and investigate the crack epidemic on the streets of New York in the late 80s.
Mac Strachan's back on crack.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Backstreet's back.
I put Nigel Spackman in there again.
Yeah. Sorry, Marcus.
I wondered when this series would break us.
So Clough saw the cowboy boots and started asking him pointed questions about his private life. And Gary McAllister was just like, oh, really? Come on. And then Leeds showed interest. And I think that Clough was a bit of a sausage.
Homophobe.
Probably.
He's on record for saying weird things on that.
Yeah.
He went to Leeds to replace Vinnie Jones, did he not?
Yeah, that's a strange one, that, isn't it?
Because Jones was still there. He said that when he turned up at Leeds, Jones...
He got to Sheffield United, or was that later?
He did soon after.
Oh, okay, right.
But he said that Jones picked him up in a limo and took him around the town and introduced him to all the people in the bars and all this. He said he was really sound, and he was like, I was really surprised, because really he knew, as did most people at the club, that he was going to start and Vinnie Jones's time was going to be limited and went away. But
I've heard a lot of good stories about
Vinnie Jones.
I know I have. When he was at Wimbledon, apparently he was really good for race relations around South London. He would pointedly go out into black neighbourhoods and sort of try and make everyone feel welcome at the club and all that kind of stuff, which of course sounds ridiculous now, but back in the 80s that was a big issue.
Yeah, but he wasn't a complete, obviously there are moments of thuggery and whatnot, but...
Was it not one of you guys who told me that? Because Vinnie Jones tells a story that he went out to some of the Jamaican neighbourhoods in London to try and just improve... Just to make black fans feel welcome at football grounds, which of course was a big problem back then, and as we've seen recently, it's still a problem sometimes.
I mean, but kudos to him.
Yeah, but the point is that someone told me the story. It must have been someone else who told me that he was talking about it, and it sounded like a really good story. Mm. And he said, I would make a real effort. I'd give all the kids rides around in my big car and all this kind of stuff. And then he went, and I'd occasionally, doing a Jamaican accent as well to make him feel welcome. And it's a bit like, you've ruined that. You've ruined that.
I do have a Vinnie Jones story. But it's not that. It's not really about him, but Vinnie Jones' dad shot my ex's goat.
What did that come
with,
from?
Let that
crossbow.
No, with a gun. He owns a farm, and there was something to do with this
goat
was going to be just shot and put down because they didn't have space for it. And she was like, "Oh, please let me find a place for it," because she worked at this farm and she'd found a home for it. But by the time she got back to deliver the good news, the goat was already shot.
All right.
Because Vinnie Jones' dad couldn't be asked to be around.
It's not our goat.
It sounds like
I know. Well, it's someone's goat now.
It sounds like an episodic subplot in Fargo.
It does a little bit, yeah. Back to McAllister, though.
Yes.
Sorry to drag it away from that. But yeah, I love this little story that when Leeds won the league, Manchester United finished second, of course, under Ferguson, just 4 points behind. So it was a great achievement for Leeds. McAllister said he was judging a karaoke night in Leeds when the news came through that Man United had lost to West Ham in the title race.
Watch the game.
And he said, well, it wasn't the clincher, but he said that was the moment when he started to believe we're going to beat them.
Sweet Caroline.
Well, actually, he confirmed that it was a very good meatloaf act that won the karaoke.
I was going to say he got up there and did one himself.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Let's talk more Gary McAllister after this.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's an egg under there.
Welcome back to the 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365.
Yeah, I found that yesterday.
Where is the egg?
Luke sent me a clip of some kind of great British MasterChef.
It's MasterChef, yeah.
And, it's MasterChef. And that was so,
there's an egg under there.
Basically, it's the rounding MasterChef where they have to cook for the ex-contestants. And someone serves up a really bad meal. And there's three of them sat around about to eat it. And it's like some sort of liver dish or something. And it's not very nice.
Fat Les, and it's whatever his name is.
Keith Allen.
Keith Allen.
Yeah. And then they all go, oh, this isn't very nice. And then the woman, I think she's an actor, because it's Celebrity MasterChef, lifts up a salad and there's like a little ball.
Gary McAllister.
Yeah, she goes, there's an egg under there. Yeah. It's just a funny moment.
It was a very moody site, let's say, that you sent me with that episode on. It was,
we do what we can, Pete.
A lot of pop-ups.
Come along now.
Now sign up to many adult video games.
Livejasmine.com.
Come along now. We've been distracted from McAllister too long.
Yeah. Eggy.
Indeed, yeah.
Press an egg button, Pete. Bring it back on track.
There you go. There we are. We're back on. Moved to Coventry in his early 30s.
I kind of remember him as a Coventry player.
I do as well. And he said he left for financial reasons. He thought it would be his last big contract before retiring. Loved by the Coventry fans. Again, he was a great professional. He had a great attitude and all the rest of it. Put in performances.
He looked like he'd never done a day's training in his life.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he was... clearly looked after himself very well.
Yeah, he was very lithe, wasn't he?
He could play in well into his late 30s, you know?
Well, maybe he'd had too many Gary Macs, because he had a drink named after him.
Did he?
Yes.
Called the Gary Mac, which was a blue-coloured alcopop with vodka, so the blue and white were the colours of Coventry.
Ah.
Right.
You see?
Yeah, that was a different world back then, wasn't it? Imagine that now. Imagine the outrage if a top player had a drink named after him in a
local Maybe they do. Course. Maybe, well, maybe in student bars they do.
It's yeah, pies I mean, and it sounds now, quite studenty, doesn't it?
Let us know. Let us know, students. Or,
what, Pete, what drink would a Pete Donaldson be?
Oh,
tears.
Sick.
Tears, yeah. And tears, yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. He's gone straight for sick there.
To be honest, it could have said something worse. McAllister had a good international career too. Sadly for him, one of his most documented moments.
Euro 96?
Yeah, ruined by Yuri Geller. Yeah.
Yuri Geller.
Do you remember that? I remember, and that's a shame. McAllister missed a penalty against England. David Seaman saved it.
David Seaman doesn't get enough credit because people think Yuri Geller did it.
This is what I was about to say.
Well, he claimed it.
So the ball slightly moved on the spot,
yeah,
right?
It did.
And Yuri Geller is taking a credit for it because before the game, there was some preposterous thing in the Sun where if you put your hand or you focus your power on the ball.
No, you're thinking of the David Beckham metatarsal. Yuri Geller claimed.
No, the metatarsal, they did a printout.
Picture.
Yeah,
yeah, like
Geller,
a prayer mat.
Geller reckoned that he was in some...
helicopter,
hot, yeah,
it?
Helicopter, a hot air balloon or something.
Cretinous
up
fraud.
In the skies near Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
Apparently news got through to him that he, you know, Gary McAllister had a penalty. And for some reason he wanted England to win because he's Turkish, isn't he?
I can't remember.
He's from Israel, is he not?
Oh, he's from Israel. But okay. My he's not from England.
My overriding memory is just him screaming, England win, England win, England win.
Okay.
And whenever I think of that Euro 96 game, I think of that and it's annoying.
Yeah, well, he's really good at inserting himself into things that have nothing to do with him and he's doing it now.
Yeah. Well, the ball did slightly move before McAllister hit it and Seaman saved it.
Still on target.
Well,
it
was on target, yeah. McAllister said that Yuri once texted me to say he could help my team win as he felt bad for what he'd done to me at Wembley.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe he was behind his swan song. McAllister, he didn't feature at the World Cup 90, but he did go there with Scotland. Mm. This was when Scotland managed to qualify for tournaments. He played at Euro 92.
He scored against the CIS.
He did score against the CIS.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
96 he missed out. And then World Cup 98 he missed through injury.
Shame.
He had a good side in 98, actually.
Yeah. And he was still, I mean, and at 98, I mean, the longevity of his career speaks for itself because in 98 he was still decent because in 2001 he was a big part of the Liverpool treble.
Well, yeah, we'll come on to that in a second. I mean, he retired from international football at 34 in 1999 after being
getting booed.
Yeah. He was booed by the Scotland
Gary
fans.
Gary McAllister booed. That's sad, isn't it?
Craig Brown tried to make
what do you want from me? I've got John McGinley in front. Gone jury. What do you want me? What do you want me to do?
It wasn't a bad
jury
player.
Jury was a good player, Donaldson.
Yeah, but
he'd walk in that team on his hands now.
I was going to say, you start mentioning a couple of the Scotland players in the 90s, Scotland fans will be thinking, oh, just for a couple of them now.
Yeah. I've got Ali McCoist.
Yeah, put him in there. McAllister could do a job now.
He could.
He was trundling around, just taking free kicks, whipping them in for 45 yards. Wonderful.
Yeah, it was great.
Craig Brown tried to make him reconsider.
What did he say?
Are you sure, Gary? But he failed.
Ignore the boo boys.
We've got a much better chance of getting a nothing result. Mm.
Do you want your goose eggs?
Eric Cantona had a lot of nice things to say about Gary McCast. He said one of the best midfielders he ever played with.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. A lot of people they spoke very, very.
The forgotten man, maybe.
Almost. No. It's an interesting one.
Not
isn't it? Because we were talking about Dion Dublin, we were saying he was one of those players that was always tipped to get a big move, and it never quite happened. And McAllister just about made it.
Yeah,
and it
so
worked
the league
so much better than you think. Absolutely, yeah. Yes. Mm. But with this sort of Premier League myopia, I think that was certainly
still
the kind of view of him.
You sort of think that this will probably won't happen again, just simply because footballers start so early. So there's players that had those moves that where they still a little bit left in the tank. People like Beardsley when he went to Newcastle. He had a lie that he was 34 and he's actually 36 when he moved.
Who was that?
Hey, I didn't know that.
Beardsley, really? Yeah, he lied. Kevin Keegan told him to lie to John Hall that he was 34 rather than 36 because otherwise he wouldn't have signed.
Why would you check?
So how could you check?
He signed at 36.
I think he signed at 36.
Well, it's funny. You're right, it's moved on because we were talking on the Continent a couple of weeks ago about the future.
It might be 32, 34, sorry.
That's right, about the future of Robert Lewandowski, who's now 30. And people just basically saying, well, you know, he's probably not, no one's going to make a move now. It's like Lewandowski, he scored like 8 goals in the Champions League this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's talk that he probably won't get a move. I mean, he might still, but you know what I mean? The conversation seems to have changed.
Well, we're so familiar with these players for such a long time. And they're rammed down our throats for every video game, every TV show. And it's like, I'm bored of him now. Let's have some new ones.
Well, at the age of 35, he left Coventry to Liverpool.
On a Bosman, though. So it's a free hit for Liverpool.
But still, though, like Liverpool were quite heavily criticised for that. And what on earth are you doing? signing a 35-year-old. They had some exciting young players at the time. Stephen Gerrard, Michael Owen, Carragher.
Danny Murphy was involved.
Danny Murphy. Yeah.
The idea of a Bosman was quite interesting, though.
Yeah. It was, but still...
Make the most of it.
But what? They were criticised. Julio was criticised. Julio said later, you know, it was my most inspired signing, which you can understand why. But it's true, though, that when McAllister, you'd obviously won the league at Leeds, and then Leeds, they didn't reach those highs after that. And then he went to Coventry, who, as I said in the Dion Dunham profile, they were all always in a kind of relegation scrap. And that's not quite true. And actually, at times they played some nice football, but he wasn't up there trying to win trophies really, or certainly challenging for the league. And then he goes to Liverpool, and he had a bloody lovely time.
Almost instantly, kind of just substitute appearances, but he'd always have a hand in stuff. Which is really weird.
Well, he knew that people were criticising and were critical of this, so he made sure that he turned up. Ready to go in that summer in training, and he was one of the top runners in the side, all that kind of stuff. Mm. Now, he had retired from international football, so that probably helped slightly. But he won a treble at Liverpool. A lot of the Liverpool players who were involved in that squad call it the treble. Yeah. It was a treble. It's an impressive treble. League Cup, FA Cup and UEFA Cup.
Yeah.
But it is a treble.
And a testament, and we talk about him being underappreciated, perhaps a forgotten man of the Premier League era, a testament to how well he was liked at Liverpool, there's two for me. One is that he's now assistant to Stephen Gerrard at Rangers. He obviously built up a good ability.
Came on for him in the FA Cup, I think.
Right. And the other one is top the 100 players who shook the cop.
Yeah,
this is essentially a list of the 100 most loved or best Liverpool players. Number 31.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's not bad. And for a guy who signed at 35
and played about two seasons.
I think he was he two seasons? Was
yeah,
he
I think he was there a couple
more?
Of years. Because
okay.
in those couple of years he featured 87 times for them. Which, you know, for a guy who's 35, 36, is incredible.
viewed as a free gift.
Yeah, exactly. He scored, one of the most important goals he scored was the only goal of the tie against Barcelona in the UEFA Cup semi-final. Mm. And it's a lovely penalty. And the way he celebrates that in Puyol's face, because he said Puyol kept saying stuff in his ear and all this kind of stuff, was amazing.
It's just weird that Puyol was still like, horny recently.
I know.
The crossover's crazy, yeah.
His best free kick was arguably/definitely at Goodison Park.
That was bottom left-hand corner.
Glorious. Yeah. He said that Jamie Carragher said to him just before he hit it, because he could see McAllister kind of sizing it up and the keeper was edging away waiting for the cross, and apparently Carragher went, "Don't you effing dare, Gary."
Yeah, really?
Went, well, have a look at this.
Carragher's got form for that, because you remember when Charlie Adam kept trying to score from the halfway line?
Yes. Yeah, well, that's understandable.
And there was one where, I think the one where he does score, finally, Carragher is going postal on behind him, like screaming at him, like throwing his arms around him, and it obviously goes in.
Amazing. He was man of the match in the final of the UEFA Cup when they beat Alaves.
5-4.
5-4. He scored as well, yeah. He said that there was a moment in the match when he took a corner that Robbie Fowler was warming up near him and a dildo landed next to him.
And he said, Don Hutchison.
And he said Fowler nonchalantly, who was a sub, flicked it up with his right foot and then volleyed it over the hoarding boards in the direction where it had come from. Don't worry, Gal. I'll sort this out.
Anyway, what a great guy. What a great career.
Indeed, yeah. Player manager at Coventry as well. He still wasn't quite done.
Yeah.
He still wasn't quite done. had a slight stints at management. Didn't quite work out.
Stepped in for Julio, didn't he? He had a good relationship with Julio and he stepped in. I know he managed at Leeds, but he stepped in as caretaker at Villa when Julio became ill, didn't he?
I think
he did. And so that obviously he had a little bit of a try at there, but now he's assistant to Stevie G.
Ah. Gary Mack, eh?
Yeah.
Love that. Absolutely love that.
What an egg.
That swan song at Liverpool. You can't state it enough just how glorious it was.
100%. Agree. Great. A welcome entry.
Still in football.
Absolutely.
Good to see him in the dugout.
Yeah. Indeed. Thanks for listening, everybody, to episode 9 of the 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365. Back to Mozza.
Was a Radio Staccato production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.